Breaking news tonight, shockwaves as President Obama commutes the sentence of Chelsea Manning, the Army intelligence soldier convicted of giving American secrets to WikiLeaks. Manning to be freed, but what about Edward Snowden? Critical condition. With Obamacare on the brink of repeal, would a replacement cover those with pre-existing conditions? Unsolved mystery as a three-year search ends. Is Flight 370 lost forever? Across America, we're in the home of the Reagan Democrats who delivered big for Donald Trump, their hopes and fears as he prepares to take office. A boom in boomers paying for college tonight inside the fastest growing age group left saddled with student debt. And a stunning medical miracle no one saw coming as they gathered to say goodbye. Nightly news begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Warren, Michigan.
Good evening from Macomb County, Michigan. The ice rink in the City Hall, part of a beautiful city square here in Warren, which helped deliver one of the biggest surprises of 2016. This key blue state going red for Donald Trump. What are people here expecting now? We're talking to them tonight as part of our trip across America. But we start off with breaking news out of Washington. Just 3 days from the end of his term, the White House late today announced President Obama has ordered clemency for over 200 prison inmates. Among the most notable and controversial, Chelsea Manning, the former Army intelligence analyst who was convicted for passing classified government material to WikiLeaks and whose imprisonment as a transgender woman has been fraught with complications. The president commuting Manning's sentence, ordering her to be released this spring. NBC's Cynthia McFadden has late details.
Chelsea Manning, the Army private convicted of leaking thousands of secret military and diplomatic documents, will be free in May. President Obama announced late this afternoon he will commute her 35-year sentence.
I think justice was finally done today. 35 years was not an appropriate sentence.
The commutation is not a pardon. Her conviction still stands, but her sentence has been reduced to the 7 years she will have completed in the next few months.
Can all those people stand another?
The case broke in 2010 with all the makings of a spy thriller.
A senior Pentagon official says the prime suspect is 22-year-old Army Private First Class Bradley Manning.
The day after Manning was convicted, another bombshell when Manning announced she was a transgender woman, now known as Chelsea. Manning twice tried to commit suicide last year. She is currently incarcerated in the male military prison at Leavenworth, Kansas.
Was the government able to point to any specific damage as a result of the releases from Chelsea Manning?
No, they were not. And we had secret sessions of the court-martial where that would be the place that the government would do that. And the answer was no. What they would be able to show, and what they did show, was certain diplomats had their feelings hurt. Certain countries were upset.
Manning's 35-year sentence is the longest any leaker has ever received. But not everyone supports the decision. A senior U.S. official tells NBC News Secretary of Defense Ash Carter did not support the commutation. At her trial, Manning apologized for her actions, but that apology was never heard outside the courtroom until last week when NBC News broadcast it.
Can I go forward? I want to go forward. Before I can do that, though, I understand that I must pay a price for my decisions and actions.
Today, President Obama decided that debt has been paid.
Sources inside the intelligence community believe the reason Manning's sentence was so stiff was because Edward Snowden's massive leaks came to light just as Manning was being sentenced. Snowden was beyond the reach of the U.S. and Russia. Manning paid the price. A petition for a pardon for Mr. Snowden with over 1 million signatures was not acted upon by the White House. Lester?
All right, Cynthia McFadden in New York, thank you. And speaking of Snowden's current home, Russia, today Vladimir Putin came to the defense of President-elect Donald Trump, breaking his silence about those unverified allegations leaked about Mr. Trump last week. Well, here at home, more Democrats are joining an inauguration boycott with just 3 days to go. NBC's Hallie Jackson has more.
Tonight, from Vladimir Putin, a perhaps unsurprising response to those salacious but unsubstantiated allegations about Donald Trump. rubbish, the Russian leader says, defending Trump in his first public statement about that report. Putin, accusing the Obama administration of trying to delegitimize Trump, working to solidify a political partnership even before it officially begins Friday, Inauguration Day. But dozens of Democrats will be boycotting. The no-shows, now numbering more than 50. Scattered reports of boycotts popped up in 1973 with Richard Nixon and 2001 with George W. Bush, but nothing that reached this level of coverage, sparked by comments from Congressman and civil rights freedom rider John Lewis, who, despite saying this would be his first missed inauguration, also skipped President Bush's in 2001.
We didn't attend it like so many other members of Congress did, and but President Bush was a friend of mine.
And he got caught in a very bad lie. So let's see what happens. As far as other people not going, that's okay, because we need seats so badly.
Demonstrations already starting in Washington. At least 99 of them planned this week. Some for, most against. With a different public protest coming from a top intelligence official, CIA head John Brennan, taking serious offense to Trump's accusation he leaked sensitive information and suggestion intelligence agencies used Nazi-like tactics. Brennan telling the Wall Street Journal, when his integrity is challenged, quote, that's where I think the line is crossed.
Tomorrow here on the Hill, the talk turns to the health care law, with the president-elect's pick to lead the health agency, Congressman Tom Price, set to face senators for the first time about the new administration's replacement plan. Lester?
Hallie Jackson, thanks. Another major controversy we're following tonight, new developments in the battle over Obamacare, now on the brink of repeal, as a new nonpartisan report says 18 million people would lose their coverage and that number would surge unless an immediate replacement is ready. President-elect Trump has promised insurance for everyone, but who will pay for it? NBC's Tom Costello has details.
Healthcare is a human right.
Tonight, more pressure on Republicans to come up with a viable replacement plan after the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office reported that if Obamacare is repealed without a substitute, within 10 years, 32 million Americans will be without insurance and premiums for individuals could double.
Our job as a government is to guarantee health care to all people in a cost-effective way.
But today, Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan's office said the estimates of future uninsured Americans are meaningless because they fail to take into account measures that might replace Obamacare. One option, creating a special insurance pool only for high-risk patients with pre-existing conditions. People like Brandy Walker in Arizona, who's already had a double mastectomy.
I was 38 when I was diagnosed with cancer, so I'm still pretty young. And it would be difficult for me to afford.
Brandy fears if she could only buy insurance designed for high-risk patients, it could be far too expensive for both her and her daughter.
And if my cancer were to come back, what would I do?
Under one Republican plan, the government would spend $25 billion in subsidies over 10 years to make the high-risk insurance more affordable. But many states tried that before Obamacare and couldn't afford it.
They set the premiums usually 50 to 100% higher than what people would face in the private market.
My family has a history of breast cancer.
Today, Brandy Walker was in Washington hoping to persuade lawmakers.
I don't think I can afford a high-risk pool.
After fighting for her life, now fighting for coverage. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
In a Florida courtroom today, the suspect in the deadly shooting rampage at the Fort Lauderdale airport was ordered to remain behind bars until trial. During the hearing, prosecutors said Esteban Santiago gave conflicting explanations as to his motive. The FBI says Santiago first claimed the government was controlling his mind, but later said he was inspired by ISIS-linked chat rooms and websites. Now to a new turn in one of the world's biggest unsolved mysteries. Where is Malaysia Airlines Flight 370? After an exhaustive three-year search, tonight the mission is over, with searchers no closer to finding that plane. It's a decision being met with outrage and disappointment from family members of those who were on board. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has details.
Hoping to solve one of the world's greatest aviation mysteries, search teams combed a portion of the Indian Ocean the size of Pennsylvania. But after nearly 3 years of scouring the deep blue sea, the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 is now suspended.
We have a high degree of confidence now that the aircraft is not in the area in which we have searched.
With 239 people aboard the Boeing 777
MH370 left Kuala Lumpur for Beijing in March of 2014, the flight dropping off radar. During the search off Western Australia, a wing flap washed ashore on Reunion Island, 2,500 miles away from the search grid. For some families who lost loved ones, a plea to continue the search to the north, where new analysis shows the wreckage may now be. Grace Nathan lost her mother.
Not knowing has been horrible. It's just been unbearable.
Was it an airplane problem? Was it an intentional act? All of those possibilities remain on the table.
Tonight, the mystery may never be solved. But for the families of the victims, so much more has been lost. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
A major announcement tonight here in Michigan. General Motors saying it will invest $1 billion in its U.S. factories, creating or retaining 1,500 jobs. The automaker will also move some of its production from Mexico to Michigan. The announcement comes after President-elect Trump had criticized GM and other automakers for building cars outside the U.S. And that announcement, welcome news here in Macomb County, where we're on our journey across America. A Detroit suburb home to those famous Reagan Democrats who delivered a critical blue state to a Republican over 30 years ago, doing it again in 2016. A key bellwether for the national mood on trade, jobs, and the economy. They build a lot of things around here, from cars to cabinets. So a factory floor seemed to be a good place for a frank conversation about President-elect Trump's promises and the expectations here in a place that helped elect him.
Just across 8 Mile Road, yes, that 8 Mile, made famous by rapper Eminem, lies Macomb County. It's a county of contradictions, not just in landscape, but in the way its residents vote. In 2008 and 2012, the county went solidly for President Obama. But now, this is largely Trump country. The president-elect garnered nearly 54% of the vote here. A surprise to even those who supported him, like Chris Vitale, a Chrysler worker for over 20 years, who in the past supported Obama.
Did you surprise yourself at all, Chris, when you got behind Trump?
Yes. To be honest with you, I really knew nothing of the man other than that he had a reality show, and I don't like reality shows all that much. He seemed to see these issues without even being here. I mean, he's an East Coast Republican real estate developer. Yet he seemed to realize that NAFTA was created 25 years ago to create this supposed Mexican middle class, and the Mexican manufacturing wage is $2.49 an hour.
He hit all the right buzzwords.
Oh, yeah, he did.
People like Debbie McGee, a single mom of two boys, also voted for Donald Trump. He offers her hope, something she hasn't felt in a long time.
What keeps you awake at night?
Making sure that my kids are going to have a roof over their head, food on the table.
Do you feel invisible at times?
Yes. I can't win, you know. So I just struggle from paycheck to paycheck. I, you know, sell stuff on swap sites to try to get some extra cash, you know, toys my kids don't play with or their clothes that they grew out of.
What do you want from this president?
I want changes. I want more jobs. I want better paying jobs.
Father of four, Max Stinson, works here at Bakes and Crop, a family-owned cabinet manufacturer. A Clinton supporter, he fears the American dream he grew up with is exactly that, a dream.
Is what's happening here really the story of what's happening in the middle class in America?
I think the middle class has been eroding for a long time, and I think it'll continue to erode. Older kids that I knew as small children struggling, still living at home, not being able to afford going to college because they can't have the job to pay for their own cost of living while going to school. Things are very difficult, I think.
Jacqueline Kelly Smith is a retired third-generation auto worker and UAW member. Like Max, she voted for Clinton and is skeptical of what Mr. Trump's America has in store for her.
You have to make sure that the people in America feel as though they're included. And, you know, as a African-American woman, I don't feel as though his plans always include me.
Do you think this president will deliver?
No, I don't. Based on the things that he said, Mr. Trump would say one thing at 9 a.m., say the opposite at 12 noon, and then at 3 p.m., he said he didn't say either one.
I'm curious, how long do each of you give Trump to really make an impact, Jacqueline?
6 months.
I'll go off Jacqueline's answer a little bit. I don't necessarily expect things to greatly change in 6 months, but I think that in 6 months we'll know if he's the real deal or not.
And this advice for the president-elect.
listen to the needs of the people and not just the needs of big business.
Calm down. Calm down and just focus on issues.
Think of the lower class and the middle class.
Keep America the exceptional place that it is. Man hasn't been inaugurated yet, and, you know, until he takes his hand off that Bible, I can't really judge him.
Important voices as America readies to embark on its next chapter. Tomorrow, our journey across America takes us to Fayetteville, North Carolina, home to Fort Bragg, where the conversation continues. But there's more ahead here tonight. Still ahead, student loan shocker, why a growing number of Americans over 60 are taking on college debt, and the big risks you need to know if you're one of them. We'll be right back. Back now with a surprising trend among older Americans. When it comes to taking out student loans, the fastest growing group isn't young people. It's Americans over 60, usually to help your children or grandkids. But NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent tells us there's a major risk they may not always be thinking about.
It's really nice outside.
When Sheila Coonerty's daughter, Nina, got into the University of California, Santa Cruz, she wanted her to have the full experience and graduate debt-free.
One of the greatest moments of my life was when my daughter said, "You're really going to make it possible for me to get all the way through without debt?" And I said, "That's my goal."
At age 69, Coonerty put $30,000 of her home equity loan towards college tuition and took out an additional $5,000 student loan in her own name. According to a new report by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, borrowers over 60 have nearly $67 billion in student loan debt. Two-thirds of that debt is taken on for children or grandchildren. And paying back the loans gets harder with age. 40% of federal student loan borrowers over 65 are in default.
Anything where you take out loans, whether it's in the form of home equity in your house or a straight up loan, is something you really need to think carefully about.
Experts say put money away over time in a 529 plan for grandchildren, which grows tax-free. Know that co-signing a loan means you're responsible for paying it, and that federal student loans will be canceled upon death, but private loans may not be. Lastly, if you're behind on a federal student loan, the government may garnish your Social Security check. Nina is grateful to her mom and vows to take care of her someday.
She gave me such a gift to help secure my future and being able to go to college.
An education for both mother and daughter in financial planning and sacrifice. Jolene Kent, NBC News.
Up next, a beloved star celebrating a major milestone. New numbers show the abortion rate in America has fallen to its lowest level since Roe v. Wade in 1974. The report from the Guttmacher Institute, which supports abortion rights, counts 926,200 abortions in 2014, down from a peak of 1.6 million in 1990. The authors attribute two main factors: increased availability of contraceptives and a surge in state abortion restrictions. A jaw-dropping sight north of Atlanta, where a sinkhole opened beneath an 18-wheeler, nearly swallowing the 55,000-pound truck whole. No injuries are reported. And birthday wishes are pouring in for an American icon. Betty White at 95, still going strong and still golden. And Betty, we hope you're out having a great time celebrating. When we come back, how a woman with a mystery illness shocked her doctors and her family. Finally, a stunning surprise and a great grandmother's second chance. She had a mystery illness that baffled her doctors and family, but as Kristen Dahlgren tells us, what happened next shocked them all.
Just 2.5 months ago, Eloise Barnett's family was saying goodbye.
We went and bought cemetery plots. We planned the funeral.
The 75-year-old great-grandma was unresponsive in an Ohio hospital after her husband couldn't wake her up.
They had to put her on dialysis. Her blood pressure dropped to 40 over zilch.
Doctors weren't sure what was wrong, but after more than 2 weeks, she wasn't responding to treatments. So her family made the difficult decision to take her off life support.
It was heart-wrenching. It was lots and lots of tears.
But Eloise had other plans. And 2 days later, when Dr. Matt Wooten expected to find a patient in her final moments,
she opened her eyes and started talking to me. And it really surprised me.
Some might call it a miracle.
It's a miracle to me because I've never seen it happen.
Eloise calls it good old-fashioned grit.
I can be stubborn, but I have determination.
And all of the spunk you'd expect from a woman who just cheated death.
They say I'm still very witty.
The grandmother of two and great-grand to three is still in physical therapy, but is now back home at her family ranch.
She'll be out on that grasshopper mowing spring.
Still the same Eloise, with a new purpose. You missed
my- that was not my time. I'm not finished here.
And a message.
Dog, don't give up. Don't give up.
Living against the odds and making every moment count.
Love you so much.
Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News.
Pretty amazing. That's going to do it for us. I'm Lester Holt reporting from Warren, Michigan. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.